there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to another episode of Horror for the Holidays Stocking Stuffer. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
We're potentially calling this episode in a stocking stuffer, in a stocking nature.
Yep.
In a violent stuffer. I don't know, something
in
like that.
In a violent stocking, I think we'll go with.
Oh, I like that, in a violent stocking. We're going to... We braved the increasing heat in my Honda CRV that currently doesn't have air conditioning.
Oof.
And drove out to the movie theater to see In a Violent Nature, the movie everyone's talking about. And I guess we're gonna give more of an extended review. This is also kind of maybe a trial run of the Boys of Summer thing that we keep mentioning.
We're boys at summer. We're gonna review some stuff.
We're gonna review a camping movie. Not give it our full Horror for the Holidays treatment.
No, but. not yet. But yeah, sorry I'm late, Jay. I had to walk ploddingly across your backyard.
I watched it. It took forever.
Well, you know, I got diverted because there were some girls doing yoga in the other half of your yard. I had to go check out first.
All I could think of. I mean, we'll get into it. This is probably going to be pretty spoiler heavy. Granted, there's also not a lot to spoil in a weird way.
I mean, if you've seen a slasher movie before, I don't think anything in this is going to really be a spoiler for you.
I was going to say, if you've seen a Friday the 13th movie before.
Yes, specifically. Friday the 13th Part 2, this lifts a lot for him.
I was thinking of the yoga girls and everything. That whole movie, all I could think of was Jason X, Evil Gets an Upgrade.
Yeah.
The hologram at the end of the two girls, like, we love premarital sex.
Yep. Yeah, it's got heavy Friday the 13th vibes for sure. I mean, the bonfire scene is pretty much lifted right out of Part 2. And, I mean, well, Johnny is all we know him as in the movie, our killer.
But he's very clearly Jason.
As I say, he's supposed to be Jason. I mean, right, even down to the whole being that mama's boy thing.
Yep. Now it was, it was one of those things. So it starts out, and I don't know, listeners, I don't know what you all have heard. It's basically, first person, and it's more third person, like behind the shoulder. You follow the killer for the majority of the movie.
Have you seen a nature documentary, like a David Attenborough special? This is how this is filmed, basically.
And so these guys basically take Johnny's mom's necklace and wake him up. And he goes and just plods through the forest for extended amounts of time, committing some interesting kills. And then it follows up with more walking, more stumbling through the forest.
Long. And, you know, when I was thinking about this movie for this review, I was thinking about other times this has been done before. And honestly, it's like a minute and a half, I think, in the 2018 Halloween, where they do this exact same thing with Michael. And it's like more interesting than this entire movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe do a Halloween from Michael's perspective.
That'd be interesting. No, that was the thing. I thought the premise sounded really, really good.
No, that's honestly, where this falls down is the execution, I think, not the idea. Because, like, there are long scenes, and it doesn't even really stick to its premise, because there are scenes that don't feature Johnny and are shot like a regular movie. Which is kind of jarring when you've been following him around for so much of the movie, and then it just suddenly cuts like it's a regular movie. Like, I wish we could have done, like, so say, like, the bonfire scene where they're discussing the legend of the spooky woods, mm-hmm. and, you know, telling him how Jason's gonna come back for the millionth time. They could have had him, like, you know, hearing that, like, in the distance, so, like, it's clear audio for the audience, so you can hear what's going on. But have, like, that in the background, and maybe have him, like, going around investigating their campsite, you know, like, maybe he could have, like, grabbed their cell phones or whatever, and then they'd be like, oh, our phones are missing, or, you know, like, cut the power to the house or something like that. You know, show him doing something while these long conversations are going on.
Instead of just kind of standing in the background.
Yeah, so he's just standing in the background, and the fucking bonfire scene is painfully long, and all they do with the camera the entire time is go in a circle.
It's a That 70s Show.
Yes, it's a smoke circle, yeah. Yes. Picture that, but without any jokes or anything. Oh, except for one. I forgot, Jay. This has the big triple C.
Canceled.
Cringe canceled culture.
Yeah.
Gotta have one of those references thrown in there.
You know, for as much as the 2022 Texas Chainsaw Massacre got like hate for, I love the scene where they're like, try anything and you're canceled, bro. And then Leatherface just chainsaws all the influencers to death.
God. If only something that interesting had happened at that bonfire scene.
The thing is, like, I keep kind of going back and forth. I've kind of sided on, like, this is a really, really neat idea with some really, really great effects and just really bad execution.
Yes, as I say, we went out to the theater to support this, and I'm not saying that you can't try anything new or whatever, or you can't try to do a twist on the genre. I just think they left so much on the table that inevitably this is going to be a movie that's referenced as like, oh, In a Violent Nature was the first one to shoot a movie like this, but then somebody else is going to come along and refine this concept and make a better one, and then that's going to be the one that everybody talks about.
I can see that. No, because yeah, there's a really, really good idea here, and it's just... It just doesn't work. We kind of left the theater. I'm pretty sure at equal points, like at one point, like I kind of dozed off for like a minute. And then I'm pretty sure Jeff dozed off for like a minute, like at different scenes of the movie. Just sitting there and just getting more and more like I'm just sitting here watching this and nothing's happening.
And especially because the soundtrack like lulls you almost, because there is no music or anything. It's just constant footsteps. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Birds chirping.
Yes,
like stuff
like
yeah.
Nature documentary. Yes, it's like the kind of ASMR shit you would use to fall asleep at night.
I think that's probably what did it.
Yeah, this is basically the soundtrack for the movie. And the director, like I said, I was glad we took a little time before we recorded this episode between seeing it so I could look into it a little bit. Basically, any question you have, I watched an interview from him at a film festival answering questions afterwards. And anytime anybody asked him anything, he was like, yeah, that was intentional to piss you off. That was basically his answer for everything.
That's not a great look.
And it's like, well, one, I don't think that's true. And two, you didn't really piss me off. You more bored me to death.
And that's a real shame too. Like I've not seen this interview, but that's a real shame because, you know, I looked it up when you brought that up. I looked it up and Chris Nash is involved in Psycho Gorman, which is one of my favorite movies of like the last, you know, 10 years. Like,
and I know it's an independent film and they have a limited budget, but some of the stuff that they spent their budget on made no sense to me. Like, we both talked about there's a long sequence late in the movie where a man is, like, dismembered with a log-splitting machine, and it goes on forever, and it's like, the kill's not, like, exciting or gory or anything. I mean, you know what's going to happen. It just, you have to watch him basically drag him into position over and over again in real time. It's like, they could have used that to spice up some of the other kills that they had to do cutaway shots for.
I was so excited for that kill, because another thing we had heard was all the like, oh, people are being dragged out of the theater. People have barf bags.
That old classic.
And, you know, which I think maybe was true for Terrifier 2. I'm not sure.
I have only seen the original Terrifier, but if what I've heard about Terrifier 2 is true, where it takes everything in that and makes it even more crazy, then I could see some people throwing up from seeing that, yeah.
And so, like that I'd believe. This, like, there's one really cool kill, but I was expecting that log-splitting kill to be, you know, like the dude getting split in half or something. And instead, it's like, you watch his arm get cut off, and then, like, I was expecting, oh, it's going to, like, puncture, like he's going to, like crush his skull with it. Mm-hmm. No, just kind of decapitates him with it. Yeah. It was real.
Yeah. See, I was hoping he would, like, actually split him in half with it.
Yep, no, that was another thought.
It's like, that could have worked a lot better. But yeah, it's like, it seems like they didn't really have their priorities straight on what they were going to spend money on as far as the kills go. And the really jarring moments where, like we talked about the bonfire scene a little bit ago, that is not shot from Johnny's perspective. He's just like standing in the background of the shot. And there are several other times where it switches to like being shot as a regular movie. And it's really jarring. And another jarring thing is, it seems like they used two different cameras. Like, there's the camera that follows Johnny, and it's kind of like a lower resolution. Like, it's fuzzy around the edges, and like a soft focus shot on Johnny walking through the woods. But then it like switches to ultra HD, like they switch to a 4K expensive camera or whatever for the kills. And then it switches back when he's walking around.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
This is kind of jarring. But the biggest thing is the end that really took me out of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we said at the beginning, spoilers.
It's spoilers, but I mean, there's a final girl because it's a slasher movie. And this, as much as it tries to be like, oh, we're new and hip and different, we're going to try and piss you off, it pretty much goes beat by beat what you would expect for a slasher movie.
But then the final girl thing is almost completely discarded. You kind of sit there. She gets away. She's running from Johnny. Like, you know, she's going through all this stuff. You know, finds her way to a person. She finds her way to civilization kind of deal. Yes. There's this lady driving a truck, and the whole time I'm like, okay, this is gonna be like a Mama Voorhees, Pamela Voorhees kind of thing, mm-hmm. where this lady's gonna wind up being
somehow helping Johnny.
Yeah, in some way. No, that just never happens. There's no she just gets away. You never see Johnny again. Well, you do briefly, kind of, I think.
Yeah, see him shambling back to his resting place or whatever.
But like that's it. And I was just like, I was expecting him to pop up and, you know, and kill the old lady and attack the girl again, and or you know, the old lady like is also aware of this and like is aware Johnny's awake, and so, oh, we gotta sacrifice one last person or mm-hmm. something.
But yeah, no, it's a long scene too. I think it's about 10 minutes at the end of the movie, and the lady tells a long, boring story that has nothing to do with the plot.
With her brother getting a bear like bit the back of his skull.
Yeah, when it was some kind of bear that apparently had got a taste for human flesh. But it's a long, drawn out story that she tells about it, and then they pull the car over, and it does a long holding shot on the woods, because you think, you know, you've been watching Johnny slowly plod along the entire movie. I was expecting him to like plod out of the background or whatever and grab her.
I think you even kind of hear the crunching of his feet, like
you can hear like in the background. But yeah, then nothing happens, fade to black,
and that's pretty much the end of the movie. It's so strange, like some real strange choices. But there were moments, I don't know if Jeff and I were the only ones laughing in the theaters. There were a couple kills that were real kind of silly fun.
Some of the people further down were laughing at some of these too.
But the guy who went off to see the gas station girls. Fill up the gas station girls.
Yep. Oh my God.
I think he's like sparking up behind a tree. Mm-hmm. And then like Johnny just like walks out and like hits him in the head with like a hammer or something, or like an axe. and it's just like abrupt. It's literally just a like thunk.
Oh yeah, what did you think about Johnny's weapons?
I thought they were neat.
I thought he had interesting weapons. The mask was so-so for me. It was kind of cool, but it was also like, how the hell does he see anything out of that thing?
Yeah, semantics.
Because, you know, most killers' masks are just like, you know, covering their face, basically, not like a hood over their entire head.
No, it was it's kind of a neat look, the old firefighter's helmet or whatever they called it.
I liked it. I didn't like it quite as much as like the old mining helmet, like from My Bloody Valentine.
It reminded me of, I'm gonna... Is it Captain Cutler, the Scooby-Doo guy in the yellow diving suit?
Yeah, I think that's
it. It kind of reminded me of that.
It did have that kind of vibe. I thought his weapons were pretty cool. I wish he would have used them a little bit more creatively, because he has one part where he throws his axe in kind of like a tomahawk throw style kill, but that's one of the ones they chose to just have a cutaway to, which I thought was weird, because they did a shot like they were going to show it hit that guy, but then they cut away at the last second.
Right.
Because they do the whole him running towards the camera thing, and you could see Johnny throw it.
Then... I mean, the best kill is the yoga kill, probably.
Yes, I mean, you've probably seen this talked about all over the place. I mean, the reason that this gets talked about by everybody is because it's probably the most interesting kill in the movie.
But yeah, he basically, Johnny, like, disembowels a lady and then pulls her head back through her stomach.
She's an annoying bitch, and so he shoves her head out of her ass, basically.
Yeah, she was very unlikable. I didn't there's a whole scene with her and another girl, and like the other girl's clearly like hitting on her, and she's like playing hard to get and stuff.
But not even playing hard to get. She's like, you have to do exactly what I tell you, or I don't. Because she's like, oh, you thought I would like coming out to a lake? This is boring.
And then like throws all of her clothes in the water. Yeah. like a real dick move.
I mean like most people who get killed in these movies, you're not sad to see them go.
But yeah, it was a really, I think I turned to you and I was like, oh, the downward facing dog kill. Like, yep. That was, it felt very like he's doing a yoga move, yes, to her or exactly. Something was kind of a neat kill.
Yes, I would say that kill was, I wish they would have done more kills like that. Maybe have like 3 kills like that and just have those be the only kills instead of trying to show like, I don't know, but they have 7 or 8 kills in this and most of them were forgettable.
I did absolutely love the, after he kills the guy who was going to fill up the gas station girls,
mm-hmm.
I did love the, he just picks up the dude's head, picks up the dude's body. Oh yeah, no, that's the guy he
breaks into the fire pot watch post with, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he like sawed his head. He removed his head from his body. I think that was the thing. But he carries them each and then uses the body to like break into the building and then uses the head to break the glass to get the mask off. And yeah. I just loved that scene.
Yeah, it's just like I wish they would have done more creative things like that with when you see Johnny walking around and less just actual walking shots where they were trying to pad out the runtime to make it feature length. That's another thing. I think this movie, somebody probably when this becomes out and available, I'm thinking somebody's probably going to make this like an hour long cut. And then it'll probably flow a lot better than it does now.
But yeah, there were things. I mean, that's what I'm going to keep coming back to. There were things that were really, really cool. Yeah. And just a lot of stuff that just didn't work for me. And I didn't work for Jeff. And, you know, there are people that like it. And, I the movie should be applauded for doing something original. But just, you know, for us specifically, you know, don't let us. Unless you agree with our tastes on movies, don't let us deter you from seeing the movie. Go give it a shot at least.
I mean, I don't think it's available anymore, but you can watch it on Shudder.
Yeah, I guess when it drops to Shudder, check it out.
But I mean, it had a good idea, but I mean, it's been done before. There was in the mid-2000s, Behind the Mask is essentially the same kind of movie.
Leslie Vernon, yeah, that's a different movie, but it's a similar kind of idea. It's
like, yeah, from the killer's perspective. And like I said, in 2018, they did a shot of this, like, same style of movie from Michael's perspective.
You mentioned that it's out on Shudder now. That is something that I was kind of thinking. I was like, this is the kind of movie I would turn on.
Yeah.
And like, okay, Johnny's walking, and like maybe I'd go and like, you know, run to the other room and grab. Say, you know, it would be a movie where I'd be like, oh, don't pause it, because like, you know, he's just gonna be walking through the forest.
This is, which I don't know how much this will probably turn some people off. I don't know, it might turn some people on to it, but yeah, this is not the kind of movie that you have to pay a lot of attention to for most of it. I mean, you're going to know when basically the only time anything worth watching is happening is when the soundtrack kind of swells and people start talking.
Yep.
Otherwise, you could be pretty sure it's just Johnny walking through the woods.
No, if you hear someone talking, it's kind of time to pay attention. Otherwise, yeah, you can just kind of do whatever you want.
And oh, my God, I have to mention some of the acting in this movie is fucking terrible. The old man at the beginning, the trapper. When he's running away at the beginning, I'm like, is this supposed to be like a scary movie type parody of slashers or what?
It did feel very
oh my God, oh no, oh God, Johnny, you're getting so close and catching up to me, oh no.
I did love that, you know, the guy had gotten in trouble for setting up like bear traps.
Yes, he's trapping in a national forest,
and so he's, you know, he's getting chewed out for this and then gets trapped in his own trap. Yes. And
Well, I mean, because they have to do something, because part of the problem with never cutting away from the killer when he's trying to kill somebody is you don't have any of the camera tricks or anything you have for, like, a Jason or a Michael, where it's like, how the hell did he catch up with that guy? No, he has to actually catch up with the guy.
Yep.
And at the rate he walks, it's not easy.
Oh, can we, let's talk about real fast the, for about, maybe about 30 seconds to a minute, we see the actual Johnny face. We get a brief scene where, you know, we actually get to see his face. I thought it looked really cool. I thought, like, a real kind of monstrous looking.
The makeup job on Johnny was really good. Yeah, there was definitely, I think, honestly, the biggest letdown in this movie was the direction. I think if the director had made different choices, I think it would be a more interesting movie.
And it's one of those where, like, maybe I'd go back and watch it again. Like I said, certainly kind of leave the room and come back and just kind of focus on that final conversation. Because, like, yes, right, you know, to us it feels very, what was the point of this? But maybe there's something that we kind of missed. Like,
I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know that we missed anything, because it's really, I mean, I know what it's supposed to be saying. It's like, oh, yes, Johnny is an animal like this bear or whatever. Sometimes they just like killing. You know, sometimes a bear goes wild, Jay, and it just starts killing. Don't know how to stop.
But that wasn't the case.
But like, as I say, but that's not Johnny, though. That's the thing. You set up the backstory for Johnny, and it's like he's killing these people because they disturbed his grave and they took his mom's necklace. And then they give you the backstory of, oh, he was an abused little boy at this logging camp. And then somebody took revenge for him being accidentally killed when he gets scared off the fire watch tower.
Yep. And then his body continued to grow and he came back multiple times.
Yes, he somehow continues to come back over and over again.
You know, it's kind of, it does kind of feel like, you know, a thing we literally just mentioned and a thing we've done in the past, the third Saturday in October / what we just did with Bikini Bloodbath series, like watching you're watching like the third or fourth movie in a franchise.
It does feel like you're watching like Friday the 13th Part 4 and none of the other ones have ever come out.
So like you get the backstory, you get the exposition, like, oh, you know what happened, but yeah, like none of these other movies exist.
Yeah, and it's just it's hard to wrap your head around some of this stuff. Like, yeah, if your goal for the movie is to say, oh, you know, some people are just rabid animals that love killing, well, that's not really what you were going for then, because that's Michael Myers. Michael Myers is a guy who's just warped and loves to kill people, and that's just what he does. Jason has a tragic backstory to his beginnings as a slasher. So it's like, if you were going to go for the psycho who doesn't care about killing, then that would be more of a Michael parody than a Jason parody. But it's like they were clearly going for a Jason.
Yes. No, absolutely.
It's like he has the same tragic backstory. He has this weird obsession with his mother. I mean, that was another thing. That weird flashback scene in the trapper's house at the beginning where he sees, like, in the mirror, and, like, his dad kneeling down and going, like, you'll always be our son or whatever. I'm like, do we really need this?
Yeah, I know that was like your big thing walking out. You're like, why did we have that?
It's like they did a good job explaining his backstory at the bonfire scene. I mean, that I will give him that. That guy that actually did that monologue during the bonfire scene telling the backstory, he did a good job.
No, I thought he was great.
But it's like a lot of the other people kind of like, oh my God, the whole fill 'em up gas station girls bit that goes on for like 2 minutes on the back porch. It's like, oh my God.
really prepped for Bikini Bloodbath Christmas.
I know, like
with the nonstop talking about eggnog and getting laid.
Yes, I was gonna say. So that's in that movie, but I bet no one's gonna mention that in their review, like they would if they're reviewing Bikini Bloodbath Christmas. And they'd be like, oh, they just say the same thing over and over again. It's stupid. But when they do it in this movie, people will be like, oh yes, it's artsy.
But no, that that took so long. The only time it was funny, I think, like, the first time they brought it up, it was funny. Yes. And then they kept doing it.
Yes, they just keep saying it over and over again.
Later on, they're like, oh, where's so-and-so? Oh, I think he's still with the gas station girls. Only time the line was funny, because you know he's been killed.
Yes, you know he's been brutally butchered and his head's been used as a battering ram for the ranger station.
Oh, man.
Yes, that's like, more, what we need is more yoga kills and ranger stations and less walking through the woods and boring conversations.
And one, and, you know, I think too with the whole ranger station idea, there have been a couple video games lately that have been kind of that idea.
Yeah.
And so like, yes, more of that. We need more kind of horror. And I think there are a couple horror movies that are kind of like that.
It's like, and they could have done because it's in a national forest and they don't have like cell phone service or anything because they're out in the middle of nowhere, which I can attest to. I was in for my honeymoon. I was in a Glacier National Park in Montana. And yes, there was no cell phone service worth a shit in the mountains.
And then Jeff came back and I'd made a bunch of decisions about the podcast without him.
Yeah.
And...
well, you know, that's what happens when you go off to the mountains.
No, none of that happened.
But, yeah, I mean, I could see it being a great isolationist slasher movie, like, play up that aspect that they're cut off from civilization and alone, and Johnny's, like, this creature that just stalks these mountains, and, you know, word never reaches outside of the mountains because he kills everybody or whatever that comes here. But, I mean, there's literally a guy, again, more spoilers, the guy, the ranger knows that Johnny is real. His dad put him down the last time or whatever, and he was part of it.
In a violent nature, like we said, if this is like part four, in a violent nature like part two or three.
Yes, in part two or three, yeah. He helped his dad put Johnny down the last time. And so he knows how to reseal him or whatever with the locket. And so that's what his goal is, even though these two are apparently too dumb to help him do this.
And then it also doesn't work.
Yes. Like... but yeah, apparently now Johnny's too pissed off to go back to sleep. I don't know. A really funny part is... they are standing in the woods whispering, the final girl and the last guy are whispering about their plan to lure Johnny and trap him at the firewatch post, and he's just, like, standing there listening to it the entire time, like, slightly off screen.
He's just like, oh shit, I just stepped out a branch, I think he hears us.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, let's kind of give this our stocking stuffer style review.
Okay.
Yeah, favorite character, I guess.
My favorite character is, well, if we're going non-Johnny characters, I think Johnny was the most interesting person in the movie.
I agree.
But, otherwise, I'm gonna have to say, Mr. Gas Station Girls was probably my favorite.
He was my favorite, too. I think he did the best job.
Yeah.
I was surprised you didn't go with the number one motherfucker.
No, unfortunately, the number one motherfucker was so ridiculous that I can't really support him.
The Trapper has both a necklace that says number one motherfucker and a ball cap that also says
number one motherfucker. I want to get that number one motherfucker trucker hat, Jay. I need that.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
See, I was really hoping that Johnny was going to pick up and wear that number one motherfucker hat.
Oh, would have been so good.
That would have been great.
That would have made the movie a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, until he gets his, like, mask or whatever, he just walks around in the number one motherfucker hat.
Do we want to talk about, I know we don't normally do this on Stocking Stuffers, maybe we do, favorite kill?
I will say probably the most interesting one, the yoga kill, is my favorite. Although I did like the kill that they really don't set up at all and don't really show, I thought was pretty good, the one where he just drags her down when she's swimming. I thought that worked pretty well. I wish they would have shown, like, a POV shot from him, at least, like, under the water.
Even for, like, a couple seconds or something.
Just put one of those aquatic drones under there and give us, like, a POV shot of him dragging her down or whatever.
But no, you get this great scene of, like, of Johnny walking into a lake. There's these girls on the other side. It's the, you know, with the girl who later gets yoga killed, throwing her friend's clothes into the water or whatever.
She has the audacity to want to go for a swim.
And so like, this all happens, and Johnny just walks into the, just trudges slowly into the water. And we just hold on this, like, scene across the river until finally the girl that's swimming just gets pulled down into the water.
Yes.
And, like, I think escapes at one point and gets pulled back down.
Yes, that one was memorable for me. And, of course, everybody talks about the yoga kill constantly online, so...
We did talk about how long it was and how we wish they would have done something different. The brutality of Johnny overpowering... the ranger.
Yeah.
And just, like, he, like, reaches up and just, like, crushes, like, one of the discs in his spine, paralyzing him.
No, see, the part leading up to the chopping machine was good. This was just the chopping machine itself that was a letdown.
But, yeah. And then, you guys can guess it. Jeff, if you were to find this movie in your stocking on Christmas morning, would you be happy or sad?
I'd probably be sad.
I think I would, too.
I don't want to see this again. I've seen it this one time. Like I said, support independent movies. Definitely support like people who are trying to do unique concepts and things like that. But now that I've seen this once, I don't think I'll be revisiting it.
No, I'm kind of the same way. It's like I said, I would put it on, you know, if someone was like, oh, I've not seen that, and like it was on Shudder and we were hanging out or whatever, I'd put it on and then I'd kind of like watch it but go about doing other stuff. And I think that might just kind of be the best way to enjoy it. Like, yeah. If there's a long walking scene, you know, run into the other room, grab yourself like a bag of chips, and you know, and then if you hear someone start talking, oh, that's your sign to come back into the other room and watch what happens.
Well, see, I'm still hoping that my theory is right and this is going to be like a groundwork movie, and then in 10 or 15 years we're going to get like a new horror director who's going to be like, yeah, this is my new Friday the 13th movie shot from Jason's perspective. I was really inspired by In a Violent Nature.
No, I think that would be a great idea. Well, you know, and there was the rumor about that Crystal Lake show where there was going to be like a whole episode that was just Jason like chasing someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, now the whole show's been scrapped or whatever. But I thought that was a great idea. That's that kind of, that line kind of made me think about this. I was like, oh, that'd be interesting.
I'm hoping this is one of those movies where a budding director sees it and they're like, you know, I could do this concept, but do it better.
Yeah, no, I think that might be the best kind of case for In a Violent Nature. But yeah, certainly, I mean, check it out on Shudder, you know.
I mean, yeah, if you have Shudder, watch it, at least so you can say you've seen it once.
Yeah.
There's some kills that you will be exciting. Just don't expect it to be too interesting.
No, I think that's about the size of it. Well, you know, Jeff, this is a stocking stuffer. We don't normally do this, but for this time we're going to do an exception because I am the game master. Time for a little segment we like to call
Garbage Day.
Huh?
No.
No, no, not a fuck, marry, killmas.
All right, Jeff. Well, fuck, marry, killmas seems to have been popular with at least one person.
Oh, yeah.
As we got an email from our good buddy Spencer.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Jay and Jeff. The new fuck, marry, killmas segment is awesome. How would you guys categorize Mother Superior, Sister Margaret, and Denise from Silent Night, Deadly Night? I know what order I'd put them in. Mm. Keep up the great work, guys. Get that P.O. box going so I can mail you care packages filled with plenty of horrible tasting holiday snacks for garbage day. Still your number one fan, Spencer.
Ah, yes, always the number one fan.
Yeah.
All right, so read them to me again one by one.
Well, so I read this and I was like, you know, I get where Spencer's going with this, but I mean there's clearly an order. I mean, you'd probably fuck Denise, marry Sister Margaret, and kill Mother Superior. I who knows, maybe Spencer's order is completely different.
I'm definitely kill Mother Superior. I don't think there's any dispute about that. That bitch needs to die. As far as the Mary and fuck, though, I'm gonna say fuck Sister Margaret and marry Denise for me.
So I'm gonna change it a little bit here. Because you know, I gave my review, but I am the game master. So I had read Spencer's email ahead of time. And so it said it's going to be Mother Superior from Silent Night, Deadly Night 1.
Oh, okay.
Mother Superior from Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. And the House Mother from To All a Good Night. I forget her name.
Oh, okay. Well,
you have to fuck one, marry one, and kill miss one.
Now we have to do a second one?
Yeah, that's I'm changing the game because I am the game master.
Oh, my God, the game master. All right, Mother Superior from 2 is getting killed. She's even worse than one.
You can't stand all the weird boils on her face.
Yeah, I was gonna say, whatever the hell is wrong with her, I don't want that either. So I guess marry the House Mother and fuck Mother Superior from Part 1.
All right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure she could give you some kind of nasty, hate-filled fuck.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the right order for this episode of Fuck, Marry, Killmas.
Oh boy, what have we gotten ourselves into, Noble?
And, you know, we've gotten lots of good feedback. That one email from Spencer,
yep.
And me giggling the whole time I was editing the episode.
Well, I wonder what the hell was going on over there. Jay Logsdon was setting up some kind of surprise.
Yeah, some kind of ambush. And speaking of ambushes, there will be more coming.
Oh, God.
I don't know if Jeff, if you've been on top of this, but there are three red, white, and blue Mountain Dews.
Oh, no.
And I've only been able to find one so far, so that will be coming here soon.
Well,
for an episode of Garbage Day. And if I can find the other two, they will also be coming at some point.
Jay, I just have one thing to say to you for doing this to me.
All right.
You just got on the naughty list, bitch!
Jeff's official sound drop.
If we get nothing else good from Bikini Bloodbath Christmas, at least we have this.
All right. Well, send us your fuck, marry, kill misses. Fuck, marry, kill misses. Or any other questions, comments, thoughts about In a Violent Nature. Tell us why we were wrong. Horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com.
Or thank us for saving you. Warning for In a Violent Nature. Do not watch Tired. I repeat, do not watch Tired.
Yes, I agree with that. That is the one thing I will say. Get in touch with us on social media. We are at Horror, the number 4 Holidays, at all the places: TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, X.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Subscribe, hit the bell, leave us a comment over there. Go join the Bikini Bloodbath Christmas sensation. I believe it's up to like 45 views the last time I checked.
It's been a popular episode. And there's been a lot of anti-J rhetoric in the comments section.
Yeah, I know. I was shocked to see that myself.
Podcatchers.
Yes, on the Apple Podcast. Give us 5 stars and tell us why we suck.
Yeah, if you think these episodes are bad, give us 5 stars. If you think these episodes are good, also give us 5 stars. And then tell us why. We're not going to read your bad review if it's not 5 stars.
Exactly.
Beyond that, we'll see you again next week. I guess time to reveal.
Oh, no.
Reveal the movie.
Reveal it.
Pardon me while I whip this out. We're going to be talking about Silent Night, the Keira Knightley movie from 2021.
Oh. Is it Keira Knightley?
Did I say Keira Knightley?
Or is it Kristen Dunst?
I think it's Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
It's a apocalypse movie. It looks somewhere between... I saw the trailers. I've not seen it yet. It looks somewhere between The Children.
Oh, no. Not really The Children.
But then also like an apocalypse movie.
Ah, okay.
So it's like somewhere between those two.
Well, there's so many damn movies called Silent Night, it's hard to tell.
Right. No, that is an issue. otherwise, we'll see you again next week, talk about Silent Night. And then 2 weeks, we'll come up with another dumb thing for stocking stuffer. And
hold on, Jay. I almost forgot. There's a very important thing we need to talk about. We got a UFO update. I just got this alert because I have a Google alert set up for new UFO articles on all the major news sites. Let me see if I can pull this up here real quick. So Fox News, Jay.
Oh, boy.
Secret UFO civilization aliens could be here on Earth already. But the thing that got me was the tagline of the article, you know, under the sub-headline under the big bold one.
Yes.
It says, UFOs could be living among us already, says Harvard and Montana Technological University researcher.
UFOs could be living
yes,
amongst
UFOs
us already.
UFOs are living among us, Jay. So your neighbor could be a flying saucer.
Jeez, I knew there was something up with him.
All right, well, that's all I got for that.
Oh, man, got to watch out for those neighbors that might be UFOs.
UFOs could be living among us.
Jesus Christ. All right, well, we'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.